This is Phil Ferrand, and I am driving home. Oh, I left the radio on. I was actually listening to the radio while I was setting things up, and I thought, you know, someday I could have a little background music while I'm going, a little classical music in the background. It'd be very nice, very nice. We could have, you know, a little something to drink, a little bit of cheese, something. My daughter actually said that sometime I needed to have a guest who could ride with me home and we could have discussions on the way home. Anyways, enough of this. I don't know if we want background music today. It is Thursday. Once again, I'm backing up. We had a wonderful time last week painting sets with my daughter and son-in-law. Actually had a small problem and had to come into work and got that taken care of, though, and went back and helped him a little bit more. The sets turned out great. I'm actually on Facebook now. Phil Ferrand, F as in Frank, A-R-R-A-N-D. So, you know, if you happen to be on Facebook and you put me down for a friend request, I will respond. We had pictures of painting sets. Anyways, it is episode 7, and it is Thursday again. I don't think I have anything to do tomorrow. We've been chasing a pesky little bug for the last couple of days. It's one of those things that really doesn't give you much information, and so, you know, we've been trying to triangulate on it, and, you know, it's been a little bit of an adventure, but if it fails again tomorrow, it's an overnight process, if it fails again tomorrow, then I'll probably go in for a little while, but I'm not sure it's going to fail, and so, you know, I thought, well, I might as well go ahead and get this done tonight. Thursday nights are a little bit interesting in terms of doing this, because I typically have a dinner on Thursday night, so I go to the restaurant, have my dinner, and then tonight I went over to my mom and dad's and helped them get their digital cable all hooked and stuff. Then I came back to my major client. Then I'm driving home. My son-in-law hears about this. It tickles him. He thinks it's funny. He thinks that it's not quite true because I'm not really driving home from work. He said, "You're driving around first." I said, "Yeah, what? I'm driving home, man. I'm driving home." And besides which, I have to have the 20 minutes. If I drove home from my mom and dad's, it would only be 15 minutes, and, you know, I'm just about getting started at the 15-minute point. So, anyways, episode 7. There is a topic that I did not include in my book. It wasn't necessarily because I was afraid of the topic, and I did have a few things to say, although I have to admit I'm still kind of mulling a little bit on it. And like everyone else, you know, I'm moving forward in life, I'm learning. But with the events of things that are kind of swirling around on the web and stuff, I finally decided, you know what, you really need to say a few things about this. And the specific topic that I was going to talk about would be homosexual marriage, but you really can't talk about that topic without backing up and talk about homosexuality in general. But I only have 20 minutes, so I'm not going to be able to get that all completed in 20 minutes. So really, this is kind of part one of a two-part thing. And this week, the topic for discussion in all my dinners and things has been homosexuality and homosexual marriage. But when I have a dinner with people, we usually, you know, we talk for an hour, hour and a half, so there's plenty of time to talk. So I'm going to break this up into two sections. So this is just part one. If this is the first thing that you have ever listened to as far as a podcast, I suppose this wouldn't be a bad one to start with. One of my buddies this week said, you know, after I got done, you know, doing my little spiel, I said, "What do you guys think about that?" And one of the guys said, "I think you should have started your book off with that." I said, "Well, I don't know about that." But, and again, the reason that I didn't put it in the book was not because I'm afraid of the topic. I felt like I was covering enough stuff in the book, and I had to just stop because I could have just kept writing. Which, the only reason I got back onto that topic is I forgot to mention, my books are available for free off the website, philferrand.com. So if you just go to philferrand.com, there's a little link over to the side. I think it's called CC. That stands for Creative Commons PDF Downloads. And you can download any of my recent books, all of them, for free, get the entire contents. You just don't get the cover and that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm in far more danger of never being read than I am at this point of having people read my books online so much that I can never make any money at it. So the deal is, you know, you just let people read your books for free, and if they like them, then maybe they buy something in the future. Anyway, so it's kind of a little marketing thing. So, topic of homosexuality. Okay, you know, this is such an emotion-filled topic for people. I mean, people get wound up about this. And I always get really suspicious when people get all wound up about things, because I tend to think that if people are getting wound up about things, that's just the flesh within them that's stirring the pot and creating noise and trying to keep them from seeing the truths. And so I tend to not try to just react emotionally to things, especially negatively emotionally, where I'm going, well, you think, you know, I try to really stay away from that, because I think all that does is create smoke to where you can't really see your way through. And what I try to do instead is to say, back up and say, okay, what are the core principles of life? And how can I apply those core principles within this particular area to figure out what really should be my approach to this? Because I don't know that there's benefit. That's my phone going off, if you can hear that. I'm going to ignore that for the time. Just let me see. Yeah, we're going to ignore that. You know, the principles themselves are the important things. And so if you understand the principles and you line out the principles and you follow the principles, then what they do is they help you alleviate some of that noise, because when something gets stirred up within you and it doesn't follow the principles, you can back up a minute and say, wait a minute, hold it. You know, what's really bothering me here? So the questions of homosexuality and sexual orientation and bisexuality and transsexuality, yada, 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 those questions, where do we start with those? Well, I think the first place that we have to start is the nature of our existence. If you go all the way back to the beginning, what is the nature of our existence? And this is where I start. These are my principles that I use for a core, and then I build my life out of these principles. First of all, God made the world. How he made it? I'm not really sure. It really doesn't matter to me whether he spoke it into existence with apparent age, or whether he spoke something, that's my phone going off and people leaving me voicemails. So, or whether he spoke 13 billion years ago, knowing exactly how the creation would form out. It doesn't really matter to me. What is important to me is that God made the world, and he had an active hand in making the universe and making the world. And what I see when I look around at the world is I see this truly amazing place, this truly amazing playground that is built for adventure. There are so many cool things here for us to seek out and figure out. You know, Proverbs says that it is the glory of God to hide a thing and the glory of kings to seek it out. And I think that's what God's made here in the world, is he's made this really, really amazing place where we can use all the tools that he's given us to have just fabulous adventures. Now, the other thing, obviously, is I think God has made us. I mean, he's not only created this world, but he's given us physical bodies that are really works of art. I was watching a NOVA program not too many days ago, and they were trying to figure out whether this 3-foot humanoid was actually humanoid or ape-like, and okay, whatever, that's fine. But in the midst of all this, they talked to a guy who has studied the bones in the hands and the wrists now for years and years and years and years. And he started talking about the trapezoid bone. The trapezoid bone is a bone that sits at the base of your index finger all the way down. If you kind of draw a line from your index finger and then across your thumb, where those two lines intersect, that's about where the trapezoid bone is. and he was saying that this bone in apes is shaped more like a pyramid with the point, you know, facing out from your palm. And he said that's great for apes that are swinging through the trees. But in humans, it's shaped differently enough that you can actually more easily bring your thumb into your fingers. You have a lot more fine motor control, and it's because of the shape of this bone. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that's really cool, you know, because I think God designed it that way or caused it to happen that way somehow. And so from that now, we can play piano concertos. And it gives us a whole lot more dexterity in our hands, and we are equipped better to have adventures in this world. But God not only created our physical natures, he created within us this mystery of the spiritual, this ability of us to interface beyond the physical and to actually have communion with God, to actually communicate with God. So, okay, those are really two cool things. And then beyond all that, God did something even cooler, and that is that he gave us free will. And free will is one of the most amazing things that God has given us. He has actually given us the capability to choose our perspectives in life. And as we talked about last week, our perspectives is really what controls the interpretation of our lives. And so God has given us the ability to all live on this earth and to interpret the events that we encounter in our lives completely differently. He's actually given us the ability to look around at this earth and decide that he doesn't exist. Now that's an amazing thing, and it's a precious gift, and God will never violate that gift because it is his gift. Now, okay, so when he gave us free will, he absolutely knew that we were going to turn away from him, that we were going to shake our fist at him, that we were going to do all this kind of stuff. So what was his solution to all that? His solution was not to strike us dead, but rather his solution was that he would send Jesus, and Jesus would live a sinful life, and then he would die. And he would, when he died, he would accomplish, in my interpretation, two very important things. The first thing he would do is he would satisfy whatever legal requirements there were for punishment in terms of making the wrong choices in life. Whatever the law had to say about what our free will chose, Jesus wiped that all out. Satisfied it all, it's done. He reconciled the world to himself in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul tells us. But beyond that, oh, now my phone is going to beep at me. One more, let me clear that. but beyond all that, God, I think, also did something really, really important when Christ hung on the cross. And that is, Jesus was the God who becomes on the cross. Now, I got no way to prove this, but this is just my little theory. I think on the cross, in some thing that God did, in some amazing way of twisting time, I personally believe that Jesus experienced, from our experiences, everything that every person on planet Earth would ever do. He experienced every joy that we have. He experienced every failure that we will have, every sorrow that we will have, every act that we will ever commit, both from the wonderful things of helping other people all the way through to the heinous things. I think Jesus on the cross became the murderer, the child molester, the one who was murdered, the one who was molested, the raper, the rapist. He became them all. He experienced it all. And instead of just fulfilling all those things, he actually became a participant in all of those things. He was the God who becomes. That means that once and for all, your flesh can never ever tell you you can't know God because of what you've done, because Jesus was right there with you every moment when you were doing it. So where does this leave us then? If we have all the legal requirements taken care of, if we have Jesus experientially visiting us throughout our entire lives, Where does this leave us then in terms of God's relationship to humanity? Where that leaves us is God loves humanity fully and completely, and it doesn't matter what humanity does, there is nothing that you can do today that's going to make God love you any more or make God love you any less. So what do we do with our choices then? Our choices are the expression of the precious gift of free will that God has given to us. And everything in our lives is a choice. It's really important to understand. We choose. We choose our actions. We choose our perspectives. We choose our emotions. We choose our words. We choose. Now, you can choose things that will make it much harder for you to exercise your free will. You can get yourself in such an addled state that, yes, you get in trouble and you get to the place where you can't choose as well. But what got you there was choices. So we choose. So having that as a background then, how does this all map into sexuality? Okay, well, the fact of it is that all of us have the physical capability to be anything we choose. Okay, we can choose to be heterosexuals, we can choose to be homosexuals, we can choose to be bisexual, transsexual, whatever kind of sexual you want to be, you can choose. Now, I know some people go, ooh, I would never choose that. But see, that ooh, you know, all that cooties, all that stuff, it's all happening in your mind. It's not because you don't have the physical capabilities to do it. All of those things are a function of your free will. And what is God's relationship to our free will? I'm convinced that God's relationship to our free will is that He celebrates our free will because it's a precious gift. And He's already taken care of all the legal requirements for it. And when God speaks to us in Scripture and says, okay, do this, don't do that, this isn't a good idea, that's okay, yeah, do this, do that, He's not saying, do this, do that, and if you don't, you know, if you do the wrong thing, I'm going to clobber you over the head. That's not why God's telling us those things. God gives us guidelines in Scriptures because He knows if we will follow those guidelines, we will create an environment of success for ourselves. And if we let our flesh lead us down paths that are the wrong paths to go down, we will actually create an environment of failure for ourselves. But God is not going to abandon us. God is not going to stop loving us, no matter what our choices are. You know, I know some people like to take homosexuality and say, oh, I was just born this way. But if you'll listen to the people who talk about their homosexuality, what you'll hear more often than not is, oh, well, I just can't help it. It's just the way I am. I was just born this way. I tried living another way, but I just have to live this way. I. And when you hear all those I's, you should immediately think, okay, that's flesh. You know, that's flesh. All right, so what is our relationship then to anyone who is making any choice for the flesh? You know, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I mean, I rewrote that when I rewrote the Lord's Prayer, when the Holy Spirit asked me, he said, why don't you rewrite the Lord's Prayer so that you are the answer to the Lord's Prayer? And when I rewrote that, the essence of that became, help me to treat everyone today with kindness and mercy and forgiveness. Understanding that as I do that, I create an environment where I can understand your love more fully. I think we really, really need to get out of this mode of finding proof texts in Scripture so that we can point our fingers at people and say, you're doing the wrong thing and you need to straighten up. Because, you know, with the measure that you judge, you will be judged. And God, again, is not saying in those passages, I'm getting my mail, God is not saying in those passages, you know, that He's going to wallop us over the head, you know, if we do this and we don't do that. What He's saying is, is that when you are judgmental in your life, you are going to create an environment around yourself where there is judgmentalism. And as you judge other people, people are going to judge you back. So it's better if you will treat other people with kindness and mercy and generosity, because in the process of doing that, you will create an environment around yourself where people will treat you with kindness. And what this all comes down to, quite simply, is that everything in our lives is a choice. And those choices, I'm backing into the garage, those choices that we make will have consequences in our lives. They will either create an environment of success or they will create an environment of failure. But those choices that other people make do not require me to point my fingers at them and condemn them and tell them they're sinners who are going to hell. Okay? That is not going to be my approach. Because I understand that even in the bad choices they're making, they are making them from the perspective of free will, and free will is one of the most precious gifts that God has given us. And I know that God loves them, and if God loves them, and He's already taken care of all the legal requirements, and Jesus Christ has already spent every moment of their lives with them and experienced that with them, who am I to shut them out? You know, I am going to treat people with kindness and generosity and graciousness. I am going to serve people. I am going to love them. And if they choose certain paths that I think do not lead to success, that's their choice. So I think, you know, it's a bit silly for us to single out one particular thing like homosexuality and, ooh, that's bad. You know, when we have promiscuity going on in our country, you know, when we have all kinds of other things going on in our country, all the way down into our own lives, you know, it's amazing to me when people start pulling out the proof text, you know, and I am not going to get into a discussion of the proof text that people use in the Bible to say that homosexuality is a special abomination before God. Okay, I'm not going to get into all those scriptures, because if you do any research at all, you find there's a whole lot of interpretations out there and you blah, 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 blah. I know what the basic principles are. The basic principles are that God loves people. God has made a way for them to know Him. He speaks to them every day. He has lived every moment of their lives with them. He has forgiven them. There is nothing that they can do to make Him love them any more or any less. And you know what? If they're good enough for God, they're good enough for me. Now, if asked, certainly, I am going to tell them, here's the things I think you can do in your life to create an environment of success for yourself. But you know, whether you do those things or whether you don't do those things, it's not going to change how I treat you. I am going to treat you with kindness and compassion and understanding. Yeah, I didn't think there was any way we were going to get to part two of this, because I'm already home, and as you can hear, I've been sitting in my garage for a while. So that's kind of the setup. So that's my little speech about homosexuality. Next week, we're going to talk about homosexual marriage, because as I told a friend of mine last week, as we were walking out, I said, you know, I think I'm going to have to do the podcast on homosexual marriage, because I think we're on the wrong side of this argument. And he kind of looked at me and went, how so? And I said, well, we can talk about it next week. And he kind of looked at me and went, okay. And then I said, okay, here's the quick version. But I'm not going to do the quick version today. We'll have a little cliffhanger here and we'll talk about it next week. Have a great weekend. This is Phil Farad, and I have made it home.